Hello and welcome to the All About Symbian Insight podcast. I'm not Rafe Blanford, Ewan Spence here in the MC's chair today, joined as always by...
Steve Litchfield down in Reading.
Yeah, so Reading and Edinburgh here, double-heading Insight number 9. It has been a busy week for tech circles, not especially busy for Symbian per se, would you say, Steve?
That's right. There's been a lot going on. After CES, which we talked about in the last one, we've had Macworld, which is always exciting because Steve Jobs usually unleashes something that at least gets our palate salivating, even if our wallets don't actually leave our pockets. There hasn't been a lot going on generally outside that, though. And I think it's been quite a quiet start to the new year. And I'd even argue that Macworld itself didn't really offer the kind of excitement that it offered last year, because the iPhone's a known quantity and the firmware update that it produced was very much a minor upgrade. And things, major things like copy and paste, video recording and the camera. I can't believe that after a year of development, they haven't actually written these routines and put it into the interface. So very much a minor update on that front, and a very quiet start to the new year.
But of course, you can now send one SMS to two people at the same time, which is worthy of 5 minutes of a keynote.
Woo! Go, Steve!
Yeah, whoa! I suppose the other one that came out of that was the article I wrote last week regarding about this idea of the sub-notebook laptop from not being a good idea. The things like the Sign Netbook, the Asus Triple E PC came up. This, of course, because the MacBook Air has now went super thin, but it's still a 13-inch wide screen. It's one of the biggest, most popular comment threads that we've had this year, which isn't saying much. My basic argument there was that yes, the fanboys and the geeks will buy this sort of form factor, but out in the real world, nobody does. And lo and behold, all the geeks and fanboys said, yeah, we've bought it, it's wonderful. But, you know, it's, will this form factor get the traction? Even though, as you and I both know, Steve, Symbian OS, even back in version 5, was eminently capable of running a small laptop.
Yeah, this thing about the geek market is all important, because it's the geeks doing all the talking and chatting here, and you and I would absolutely die for the perfect sub laptop which enable us to be incredibly productive wherever we are. But we're a tiny, tiny, tiny fraction of the market, and it's not surprising that the Palm Folio, for example, got canned immediately. This new chap from Apple, ex-Apple, took over at Palm. That the geeks design some of these things, and the real world marketeers, and say, hang on, this is going to sell 50,000 units and we're going to lose an awful lot of money on it. Yes, you and I would love a netbook brought up to date. We'd love a Palm Folio. We'd love a MacBook Air with all the trimmings. I'm sure we'd love it, but it's never going to be a huge seller in the real world.
And it's all about these real world numbers that you get. Symbian has spent a long time building up. You know, it starts at the high end. It's working in the medium market, and now the low end with the smartphone. And we've seen that because one of the few bits of really good Symbian news last week, and Steve, you said earlier you wanted to bring this one up, was the FCC regulation passing of the Motorola Z10.
Yes, you could. The FCC's, as I understand it, is the sort of American authority on telecommunications, and has to approve every single device for being legal in America to not interfere with other devices. And
these, like Ofcom with teeth.
Indeed. So the Motorola Z10, which we have commented on briefly in previous shows, has finally passed that hurdle. And the significance is not the fact that the smartphone's passed and it is okay to use. We knew that Motorola would do a good enough job. The significance of something passing FCC is the fact that people have bothered to submit it to them in the first place, which means it's going to have a full... perhaps quad band release right across America, right across Northern America, and that's the significant thing. So yeah, the first major hurdle, I think, for the Z10 making a significant inroads into the American market. We still don't know, I think, where exactly how it's going to be handled in terms of sales and carriers, but Motorola being an American company, you can assume that they've got some pretty big irons and pretty big fires.
Yeah, and again, we talked about the lack of news, and that's, of course, because most people are prepping for the 3GSM World Congress in Barcelona, which is happening 14th to the 16th of February. CES, Macworld, they're very American events. They're very much where America puts it all out on display, whereas all the phone manufacturers that are typically using smartphones are all over in Europe or the Far East, and 3GSM is really where where they make their big announcements, unless you're Sony Ericsson, in which case you do it the week before and try and get the news cycle 2 years running. Will they do it for a third year? So really, it's they're keeping their powder dry. Possibly the only thing that came out of CES looking back was the supposed, allegedly E71 thing, cheapo version of the E61.
Was that where was that from again?
Well, we've actually got in Gadget managed to get a couple of spy shots. They have a lovely headline marked "The E71 in the Wild." So that there you go. That's where we got the lead from. It wasn't us, Gov. Honest.
If we're talking about the device, I think we're talking about, which we're not allowed to talk about, the merging of an N series specification, as I like to put it, with an E series keyboard in a sort of compromised form factor. I've seen the spy shots. You've all probably seen the spy shots, but we're not allowed to talk about it, and we really wouldn't want to compromise our friends at Nokia either, who hopefully will get us a late prototype just before launch, and then we can give you all about Symbian, a great preview, and say what we're allowed to say. But that's what I've been waiting for. If it's the device you've all seen in the spy shots, having a QWERTY keyboard in a device that's thinner than an E61, but by about 20%, but with N-series specs in terms of up-to-date codecs, GPS, 3-megapixel camera, VGA video recording, that has to be the... I know I'm a geek, I'm a super geek, but that's the device I've been waiting for a long time.
But it comes down to this. This is an argument that we always have and always use. Nokia always seem... Not actually, this is not fair to tarnish this just with Nokia, but most mobile phone manufacturers always seem to leave out a couple of features that are really nice. Never once, I think, in the whole run of smartphones has there been one smartphone that has all the features of the day on one device. There's always one or two missing. The N95, for example, misses something like push sync for push sync for push email. I'll get the words in the right order. There we go. The E61, of course, didn't have a camera at all. And then, of course, there's a huge amount of software inconsistencies, hardware inconsistencies. And at any stage since the 7650 onwards, Nokia could have made one phone that has everything. Sony Ericsson, similarly, the P900, the P910s were reasonably all there, but software was lacking. So when things like the P1 came out and the M600, this sort of, we have to kind of diverge our portfolio to kind of like spread out the features. So this one's for business, this one's for entertainment. Do you really think that we're going to have a manufacturer suddenly go, no, we are going to put it all in one device now? Do you really think that that's something that's going to happen?
Yeah, that's absolutely right. This whole N series, E series, numbered phones thing, I never really got. If you've got a life, you've got a life at work, and you've got a life at play, and you've got a life sitting on your own listening to music or watching movies, you've got a life rough and tumbling with your kids, and you want everything. You want the indestructibility, the robustness, the build quality, the cameras. You want the music players, the fact of playing games. You want the business features, able to open it to new applications. You want a QWERTY keyboard. And I don't think these things are in any way mutually exclusive. I'm delighted that Nokia is restructuring. I hope it means more hybrid devices, as this rumored E is supposed to be. And I can't wait. I think it'll be another 2 or 3 months before it hits us here at All About Symbian, but we will be first on the block. You can bet your bottom dollar on that.
And actually picking up on this, the sales figures that Steve Jobs came out, oh, look, we're back to the Apple iPhone going, oh, geez. And people are complaining, oh, but it complains model on model. So, for example, rather than put all of the Nokia's US sales figures into a pawn pile marked Nokia, there's Nokia N95, the Nokia E61, split it up by model and device. And a lot of people cried foul at that. But there again, Apple only have one phone. So when you have a small product line, and you have that one device, then everything gets focused on that. When you start having multiple devices going out there, you have to split the marketing effort. You have to educate probably twice or three times as much, because not only do you have to educate about your smartphone as a brand, you also have to educate about each individual device. For example, Sony Ericsson have the W960 Walkman phone, which we're going to come out onto in a minute. But it's UIQ3. I was speaking to a friend who tested the N95 on O2, didn't like it, switched it over, and then started raving about the W960 because it had a great web browser, because it had a great program interface, because it had a camera. And I'm like, well, you know, your N95 did all of that as well. The difference was the software. Now, that's a broad education. It was needed to differentiate between two brands that had the same bottom operating system. But individual, inside each company, the individual units have that marketing problem as well. What's the difference in marketing the N81 to the N81 8 gig to the N82 to the E61 to the E71? You've got to, each one's got to be said, it's a smartphone, does all this. You can't just go, bang, it's in our smartphone range, and have people accept it. It just doesn't work that way. And the fragmenting of cell phone and smartphone markets is a big problem in education.
Yes, I think that's right. I envy Apple's situation. I mean, I don't envy users who are stuck with some of the limited functionality. But if Apple could get it right and get all the things people have been asking for and 3G within the uniqueness of the iPhone platform, where it's one device, tightly controlled, very little can go wrong because Apple are in control of everything, and there's very little diversification of the product. So you haven't got to worry about 15 different variants and 15 different colors and accessory options and wireless options. I envy them the simplicity of that sort of product line, and I struggle sometimes with the sheer number of products that Nokia puts out. I admittedly they're a company that's vaster than I can conceive of. You know, there's the old Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. You may think it's a long way down the road to the corner shop, but the universe is just vast. And it's a bit like that with Nokia. They have, if for them to be able to splash out, was it 8 billion on Navtech a few months back? Any company that can afford to spend $8 billion on something is pretty large. And if they're that large, then maybe they can cope with putting out this number of models. But it's fairly confusing in the marketplace. And your average Joe Bloggs probably just goes into the phone shop, sees the word Nokia, matches up the bullet points and goes for it. Maybe it's just us geeks getting a bit overloaded by the sheer number of quote smartphones that are coming out and thinking we have to give them all the same depth of coverage, when in actual fact the functionality is 90% the same, and the whole feature phone market is catching it up at a rate of knots, and the overlap areas are increasing. So you can see the whole phone area from a macro overview, or you can dive in and take a particular model and say this, it's different from this other model by these 15 features and spend 2,000 words explaining it. I'm not sure how valid each approach is, but there's certainly a scope there for taking an overview and a common sense view.
Just to be funny for a moment, this allegedly new phone coming from Nokia, which we're not going to mention by number yet again. You could argue that it should be a 52, a 63, a 71, a 71i, a 62i in Nokia's numbering scheme, couldn't you?
you could indeed. Nokia's numbering scheme is known only to them. I did mention in a previous insight that that the branding of N series and E series is now so strong that I think people who are used to, who previously had an N70 or an N95 or an E61, they'll be looking for something with the same letter in front. So that Nokia aren't going to abandon that for now. It'll be interesting to see which number it finally ends up with, but it's not going to bother me.
Oh, okay, so speaking of letters in front of phones, Sony Ericsson's W range, the Sony Ericsson Walkman, it spans multiple operating systems, from the basic Sony Ericssons down at the 300s to sort of feature phone enabled in the 800s, but the W960 is their latest release, running UIQ3 on top of Symbian OS, whatever number we're up to now, 9.10 and everything. I'm sure I'm going to get picked up by Steve for quoting at the wrong numbers. The back of the box gives you all the stuff you need to know. Walkman, Wi-Fi certified, UIQ, Symbian OS, Opera software. This is an incredibly consumer-friendly phone. Steve and I have spent time with it recently, and I have to say, it's black, it's white, it looks stylish, it looks nothing like a smartphone, does it, Steve?
It looks the most normal smartphone from Sony Ericsson I've seen in a long time. Now, I was a huge fan of the P800 originally, and the R380 before that, admittedly.
R380, I remember that. Symbian OS 5.1, the only device in the world to use it. I think there's only one of them, and Ozzy Osman's got them. So, Ozzy, you're the guy that's got the R380. Congratulations. Remember what I was saying about, you know, we said earlier about geeks buying lots of stuff and not doing any mass market approach? Boom, perfect case. But anyway, yes, back to the 960.
Yes, it's after the flips and the push through buttons of the P800 and then the dual QWERTY keyboards of the M600 and P1i. This is a normal phone. People will see this in a phone shop. They'll buy it as a Walkman phone, and then they'll be delighted the fact that they can add extra games, extra applications. They'll be able to synchronize their email. And all the other wonderful things you can do with smartphones. I think the W960 is Sony Ericsson's best shot yet at getting hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of sales. Whereas I suspect that the P1i and M600, we're talking less than 100,000 in Europe, something of those order. I'd love to find exact numbers. Canalys or Gartner or DataQuest or whoever, if you're listening, then we haven't had any up-to-date figures on this sort of thing for a long, long time. So please get us some numbers. But I think this is their best shot for a long, long time.
Yeah, I mean, it's not perfect. Both you and I have picked up a couple of issues, admittedly all in software. But staying with the style for the moment, even looking at the sort of default backdrops that you get on the home screen with this very understated, almost carving and modern art display, little hints of orange for highlighting, and then moving into the music player, sort of a lava lamp-esque background bubbling away. I mean, it does nothing for the phone in terms of functionality. I mean, it's the sort of thing that you and I, Steve, we look at and go, what a waste of processing power. Can we have a white screen with black text and Arial 9? Thank you very much, that will do. But it is those sort of touches in something like in the main phone stores where you've only got three bullet points next to it. You know, and the bullet points for this is going to be Walkman, it's 8 meg. So what are they equating that now to? 4,000, 2,000 track, 2,000 music tracks. At Wi-Fi internet browser, or actually no, they'll probably go for 3 megapixel camera on the back of it.
It'll say Walkman player with 3D visualizations, and that'll be one of the bullet points. Like, wow, 3D visualization on my phone.
Yeah, no. which again, you know, tech people that review phones slightly different to the mainstream. What surprised me was some of the styling touches on this, especially the fact that the Walkman button is the only one that's got any colour. I mean, this phone is a very stylish monochrome device, even to the point of there's only occasional highlights of colour on the interface, mainly when you're looking at the standby screen, the album art, which is available in a very small thumbnail, the battery indicator, and everything else are these muted tones. When it all lights up and you light the keypad and everything, what stands out to you most? The great big orange W that's above the number 2 in the keypad. One press on that, no matter where you are in the phone, you're at the Walkman.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And as you say, when you hit that Walkman button and the interface lights up with these lava-esque bubbles floating up from bottom of the screen to the top, it really is quite stunning. Admittedly, the screensaver kicks in after 20 seconds and you have to save power and you lose the full effect. But for 20 blissful seconds, you get the full visualization in tune and in time with your music, and that's pretty impressive. If this is going to stand out in phone shops, and I think it will really impress people.
Yeah, I mean, as I said, we have some problems in the software. For example, it does have the stop, fast forward, and rewind keys. They're actually part of the touchscreen, though. Underneath the main 240 by 320 QVGA screen, we have the play, stop, forward, and backwards keys. But these only work when the Walkman application is actually active. I mean, I've been sitting with the Nokia's version of music phones for some time now, right back from the M91 through now to the N81 80 gig, and they've all got dedicated playback keys. So even if the phone is in your pocket, you can reach in, have a quick feel around with some tactile stuff, and press forward, back, and skip, and your volume keys work wherever you are. Not the case with the 960 at the moment. It still is a phone that you need to get out and look at to do anything with the actual phone. And there is a remote control supplied in the box.
Yeah, it's actually worse than you think, because you say it doesn't, the playback controls only light up when the Walkman app is active. It's worse than that, because they only actually light up when the Walkman app is in the foreground and you're on the playback now playing screen. You can even go, so you start a track running, you've got the playback controls, you think, well, I'll have a crisp browse around my library and see what I'll queue up next. You start, you press on the icon for artist or album, and the playback controls are gone. You're in the Walkman application. You're browsing your music library, expecting to keep hearing Pink Floyd or AC/DC, and all, and the music's playing, but there are no playback controls, and you have to get back to the main now playing screen in order just to pause the playback. And this is just ridiculous. But as you say, it's a software issue. I can't believe they'll let this run for too long. They'll fix it, and that's why things get fixed in software, and that's why we love this sort of a smartphone, because it can be updated.
I do hope they do. I mean, Nokia have been reasonably quick with their upgrades. Sony Ericsson a little bit less. I mean, I've just grabbed something like the Apple iPod Nano, and you know the controls on that are easy to find with your fingers. You can play with them and use them for the Mac, no matter where you are. Even as you said, if you're scanning your music library list, there isn't any feel on the screen to actually find those playback controls in the 960. So it's and it doesn't have a 3.5mm headphone jack. You've got to use a dongle to get to it. So those are really, in terms of it being a music player, the two main points that I would want to address. Otherwise, it's, you know, it's UIQ3, it's Wi-Fi. The Opera web browser, yet again, is doing sterling service. It's as a PIM, it's still a little bit clunky. But I think, you know, the people that I've spoken to that aren't technology-focused that have actually picked this up with the bundle of phone deals in the UK are thoroughly impressed with the capabilities of the phone. It's just like, wow! You know, stuff that we've been living with for 3 or 4 years and going, why haven't they fixed that yet? They've not, you know, they haven't even thought of the problems. I mean, I think his big one was, it works out when I'm within Wi-Fi range and just uses it automatically.
The W69 does 960 does that, does it?
Yes. Well, it's. I mean, I'm not in depth. I need to check that. But the perception from a regular user was that it does that.
Okay, I was finding I was having to tap on the Wi-Fi icon and tapping connect each time, but at least it remembered the security key, so that's fine. One comment on the first impressions of people when they kick it off as a smartphone, as something where they can see all the applications. Just a bit of a mini rant here, or observation. The Apple iPhone, when it came out, it had this fixed grid of icons, and after S60, which, as you know, is incredibly customizable, you can make your home screen look like somebody's feature film, where you can make it as plain as you like, as rich as you like, as silly as you like. Every application in different folders, you can do whatever you want. The Apple iPhone comes in, and its initial grid is just a static grid. These applications are in this order, and you can't change it. And people said, how wonderful this is. People know where they are. They can press the home button. They can instantly see exactly where all the different applications are. And now, interestingly, just to go back briefly to this Macworld iPhone update, they've introduced jiggly icons. You press and hold an icon, and it jiggles, and you can then drag and drop it to different home screens, i.e. different folders and different places. So all of a sudden, the Apple iPhone people will now be faced with this S60-like syndrome of multiple folders or multiple pages, each with icons in different orders on different devices. So that whole criticism and simplicity thing has now crossed from S60 to iPhone. And the UIQ3 is interesting because they're still persisting, so with this from the Sony Ericsson version, with these fixed folders of fixed icons. And the only things you can customize in terms of where icons go are third-party programs, which you can then place in different folders from the where they get installed, which I think is under Tools or Control Panel. But I really think UIQ3 and Sony Ericsson need to work on this, because users do want some degree of customization. It makes absolutely no sense for some of the crossover between multimedia and entertainment, for example. Some of those applications could equally well be the other one, and people will go looking for a video player under multimedia, and it's not there. They find it under entertainment. So I think they've really got to crack this. I know it introduces a slight extra edge of complexity, but hey, UIQ3 is a smartphone platform. The standby screen itself, with its pop-up of 15 or 20 shortcuts, is already adding layers of complexity to how you access programs. I really think they should let users switch icons between folders now.
I think what we need to do is not have a one approach to it. I think when these initially boot up, it should go, hi, are you a Steve Litchfield or are you a regular user? obviously not precisely using your own name. That would be scary. But what I find interesting is when you look at the feature versions of the Walkman phones, as I have, like the W800s, they have exactly the same icon layout. So somebody going from a feature phone up to the UIQ 3 version of the Walkman phone, which of course Sony Ericsson are hoping will happen, they are instantly at home with these fixed icons, Steve. They look at it and they can see that where Walkman was in their old phone, it is in their new phone, where the web, well, in that case the WAP browser was an old phone, the Opera browser is in their new phone. What Sony Ericsson have went for is the consistency across their range of devices, which leads back to that sort of how do you deal with that fragmentation problem we spoke of earlier in the insight. So it is finely balanced, and I think the answer is to actually have, in the same way that you used to have simple and advanced as a toggle in applications and PDAs back in the late 90s, early 2000s, is I think we're going to need that on these devices as well. We need devices that can boot up, as in I'm a comfortable Sony Ericsson user, or no, please just give me a command line and I'll deal with everything myself. I think that's where the focus needs to be. People like you and me that need that extra layer of complexity, that are quite happy dealing with 9 icons, all of them being an identical folder shape, and it says like PDA, work, review, and so on, can do that. Well, at the same time, somebody can pick up the phone and go, there's me Walkman, there's me game, there's me messages, and away they go. So it's an interesting design challenge.
Is there going to be a super advanced mode where you can say, yes, I'm super advanced, I wish to remove the IQ3 and install Ubuntu Linux and play with everything for using a KDE? Is that an option, do you think?
I'm going to divide slightly, because the Nokia N810 actually kind of has that option. The N810, of course, opens up with the N810. Look at that, switching away from Symbian, I get all lost. It's Nokia's MIMO-powered Linux tablet. But there have been hackers that have now got KDE running on the N810, and you need to have an understanding of Linux and booting Linux and partitions and the SD cards and everything. But you can actually drop the KDE interface or the Ubuntu interface onto the N810, and the beginner users of Linux, which I would count as myself, can stay inside the MIMO interface. So the N810 tablet does deal with that, but again, the N810 tablet, I think we're in that sort of it's going to sell well to geeks, but not to the general public. Maybe in 5 or 10 years' time. We're running low on time here. We're kicking up here with about 26 minutes. So we've covered really the main news stories, I think, of the week. But anything that's caught your eye in the sort of, you know, flashing past of the news and software that we've not hit yet, Steve, from last week?
I would just like to comment on the fact that there's still no Engage. I know that's a bit of a negative comment, but I can't believe they're letting this run on week after week. Maybe they're waiting now to relaunch it at 3GSM. I think there was some mention of a gaming conference, some other later event than 3GSM, that they could perhaps relaunch Engage app. But yes. how many times have we heard the word launch now about this next gen Engage, and it hasn't actually been a launch because nothing's actually available yet? It's really frustrating me, and I'm starting to get fed up with the whole saga, to be honest.
I think I'm going to quantify that very slightly and go, there's still no Engage and they've not said anything about it yet. Is that sort of, if we don't mention it, maybe we'll not get called up on it?
we're calling them up on it right now in Insight Number 9.
Yeah, sorry, I'm sounding like Stephen Colbert now. Today's wordiness is Engage! We're calling you! There we go.
A wag of the finger, that's it.
Yes, wag of the finger. Yes, here we are taking over American satirical TV while the writers don't. It's quite evil, isn't it?
And for people who want more of that sort of humour, see Ewan's video stand-up show.
That means we have to mention smartphones show and everything as well. Right, okay, so we've got Insight 9 here with myself, Ewan Spence. Joining me, of course, has been
Steve Litchfield,
having to keep up with me and no Rafe to act as the buffer. As always, comments are more than welcome. You can leave them on the website, which is allaboutsymbian.com. You can drop media.allaboutsymbian.com. You will get all our podcasts and media contents, including previous insights, Steve's smartphone shows, and the interviews and reviews that we have from the major conferences. We're still looking for your audio comments. We have got a couple of them lined up. Unfortunately, the great big Epoch OS version 1 power system here has lost track of them, so we can't get them through the playout system this week, but we will endeavour to hit them with a hammer and have some of your audio comments popping in at a later date, hopefully next week as well. You can email them to us at rafe@allaboutsymbian.com because he likes to listen to everything.
He will be back next week. He will be back.
He will be back, yes. No worries about that. We look forward to your comments. Thank you very much for listening. This has been All About Symbian's Insight number 9. For the rest of the week, stay safe. We'll catch you again on Monday.